First, I want to say thank you to the speakers who've come to be with us today and for the people who love to worship. Wes, thank you very much for leading that today. Wes has a CD that he's put out with Restoration's Worship Band that's available out here. And it's important that you know he's not just a creative guy who's put together a good CD. A portion of proceeds from that CD go to church planting. So if you buy it, he will give money to your church, is what Wes has. Is that how it works? Yeah, a portion will go to church planting. We don't know what portion or what church, but it's good if you do that. You're doing something that's, I guess, conscience-based capitalism, which is better than numb capitalism, I think, at the end of the day. Lectio Divina. It literally means sacred reading, and it's something that, if you want to be spooked by it, it's probably best to just get acquainted with some of the people who've practiced it, even before we talk about how it was practiced. Augustine, most evangelicals like him, he's the one guy before Luther that they circle back before the Reformation to high five and run back on the other side of the Reformation safely. So we like him. Benedict, who some of you are a little more afraid of, but also he put that in his orders, that you were to read the Bible. People on the other side of that Reformation wall, Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Wesley, Jonathan Edwards, the theologian of North America, was a guy who practiced this. It formed over time. You can't go back and say this is what was Lectio Divina, always will be Lectio Divina. It began in desert monasteries for people who were great contemplatives and really poor missionaries who determined that they just wanted to get closer to God. And they had that piece down, that to get closer to God was not just to isolate from people, it was to spend intimate time with God. However, because they weren't great missionaries, it's modified somewhat over time. And I think I would say the guy we learned about today, Ezra, who sought to know God through his word, to live out the word, and to teach it to others, in a sense models the core components of Lectio Divina. If there are three phases and perspectives of life that we all share, believer, non-believer, on this earth, there's the eternal piece. What does the Almighty, who preceded any piece of his creation, who lives beyond space and time, declare about himself? That's objective reality as close as anyone could possibly define it, as seeing life as God does. That's the piece of, I want to know what the Word says about God, what he declares about himself. He reveals himself through that. Then there's an internal piece. Where does this hit me? And you guys have been around the Bible long enough to know you can read a passage in one phase of your life and tick the box and you just got through it. And another portion of your life with some different circumstances at home or some different sin and temptation issues, and that same passage of Scripture can just halt you. The same one that you slid by, now it just really sticks right there. That's the internal piece, that you're on a pilgrimage and it's continually shifting as you follow after Christ. And so you look at these pieces that say, to me, here's what this is speaking. And then there's an external. Ezra says that he wants to teach it to others. It's the same response that David has when he experiences the grace of God and says, you know, heal me up and I will teach sinners your way and they'll be converted to you. Teaching is not always just proclaiming the word, though we spend a lot of time in that. There are those who have taught us by reflection. We saw something in their life that the Bible talks about as the aroma of life. We saw Christ in them lived out because they did things like spend intimate time with Christ and began to intentionally live and share that grace before other people. Sometimes it's in a taught word, but many times it's a reflection of what we do much more than just the things we say. We're just going through 1 Peter here at Terra, and Peter has that incredibly important verse on evangelism where he says, sanctify Christ as Lord of your hearts, always being prepared to give an account of the hope that is in you, but with gentleness and respect and a good conscience. Which essentially means that in Peter's viewpoint, the best evangelism, and I realize the Bible teaches different styles of evangelism, isn't to go up to complete strangers and hand them printed literature like it was $2 off from a Chick-fil-A coupon. You just stand on the street and keep handing things by. Peter's position is you start with this life of holiness. You spend enough time with people that they recognize this person has hope. As political entities crumble, this person is not just obsessed with, do I like the R's, do I like the D's in office, and how are they doing? They haven't done that. They've put aside that idol. They're a person who lives with hope in economic times that can be very trying. They're a person who lives with hope, though they know what it is to be a personal failure in their life. And the burden doesn't become upon the stranger who's the evangelist to hand out literature. Peter says the burden will actually become the person who sees you living that hope will eventually come to you. And be ready, if you have that much antecedent credibility, to give an account if this person actually wants to tell you something. So reflection, at least for Peter, is a very strong form of evangelism. So here's what we're going to do for Lectio Divina. The scripture will be read slowly 4 times over the course of our time in here. There'll be some particular instructions about how we want to focus and respond after each of those readings. We'll then take our notebooks, piece of paper, whatever, and go down by the river. There's tons of beautiful river frontage here behind the building, or sit out on a bench somewhere. You don't want to go more than about 5 blocks that way, but any side, this side and down by the river, everything's absolutely good. And take some time to piece together what God has been saying to you. Lectio is that time where we read the Word of God and we settle into His presence. We just hear from Him, and it's a chance to take it very slowly. When the people read, they'll pause long enough as though they were reading with a translator, because we want the Holy Spirit to have time to talk through this. We don't just want to hear the word for the satisfaction of saying we've read. The Lectio piece, the first reading, is just for us to settle down, hear the word, be invited to sit in God's presence. The second piece, Meditatio, is that same word as meditation, where we begin to see, here's what I believe God is saying. As I've heard this read, pieces have stood out. It's almost like the Holy Spirit now and again, you ever have this happen, almost takes like a highlighter. And there could be a word in a sermon or a phrase in a sermon, and everything else is forgotten. The rest of the room seems normal. But that one sentence just burned into your mind. That happens with scripture reading too. Just look for the pieces and begin to think, what's God really saying? What's the piece that my life right now, this is really a spiritual window on dealing with some of these things. I know that's the word He's speaking to me. Oratio, that third reading, we hear the reading, and we take time to speak back to God. Lord, I thank You that I saw these things about who You are when You quieted us down and I said, who is God? Who does He proclaim Himself to be? I thank You that the Spirit showed me these things about me. I want to really see what's going on. Please help me to live these things out that I'm adding up together. And then finally, contemplatio, after the fourth reading, we'll go out on our own, take the notes about who God is, what He's declared exclusively about Himself. What we're seeing is for us at this time in our pilgrimage and the prayers that we have, and we'll piece together. What do I need to do? Where am I not living up to the declarations that God is saying about Himself, or the theology I would build? And that's really what you should be doing in that first part. If you had to teach someone a theology only from this passage that we read, there's usually a lot there what's declared about God. Just put the things, God is this, God is this, God does this. The second one, you know, what am I doing? These things say, speak to me about my life in this area. We take all those pieces and be able to say, God, help me piece these together. I see all these. I'm not quite sure what to do, but I want to pray and take the time to work that out. People who've done this for a long time will say, don't stress over that. Sometimes you might just have a chance to sit with the word and walk away knowing more about God and seeing some things that He said about you relative to what He revealed to Himself. Other people will say, man, that's a time where God totally sewed it all together and I really understood where He was directing me. But there have been other times when I've done the Lectio where it didn't really come together with a big bang. What we'll do then is gather back at the tables with your groups, and we'll take time to just share what God has done in each of our lives, the process of walking through Psalm 95. It's a chance to just, you know, share our own voices with each other and glorify God for what He's doing in this community through the same verse. So the readers are going to come up at this time, and we'll be going through Psalm 95. We'll have someone read, take the time to be putting down the pieces that God has declared about Himself. The second person will read quietly. We'll have 2 or 3 minutes then to be able to reflect on what's standing out to us from where we are. A third reading will be read, and we'll have time to just begin to pray and interact and dialogue with the Spirit on those pieces. After the fourth reading, we'll be dismissed out on our own to go take about 15 minutes to think about these things, and we'll be joining back here. Phil, when do we need to get back if we want about 15 minutes for everyone?
The next session starts at 3:45.
Okay, so we'll get back here by 3:20.
Psalm 95. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day of Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.
O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.
O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into the presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are also his. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.
Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God. And a great king above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. And the sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. As at Meribah, as on the day of Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test. And put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years, I loathed that generation. And said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.
You've got about a half hour to go out quietly by yourself. Consider and pray over what God's been ministering to you about himself, how he reveals himself. To put those things down, to pray about what he's speaking to you personally through that text, piecing those together, and we'll come back and share those and pray how the Spirit has ministered to the components of the body here today in about 30 minutes.